Spaulding, this calls for the old Billy Baru. Billy. Whoa, Billy. This is a biggie.
In your life, have you seen anything like that?
All right, welcome to the second edition of the Conquer Golf Podcast, Week 2. I'm here with Kevin Noto alongside. This is Brian Thompson. And just wanted to kind of recap some stuff that's going on in the golf world last week. Obviously, Justin Thomas had the big win. What were your thoughts, Kev? What did you think about the tournament and kind of who some of the guys were that did well and didn't do as well maybe as we thought?
Yeah, disappointing weekend for Tiger. Definitely not a close call, but one where you thought he put himself in the tournament, you know, after the first couple rounds and then really, really faded. But, JT kind of ran away. He tends to do that occasionally. He will just separate and then kind of shut the door on everyone. Done that a couple times lately. He's going to be a prolific front runner, I think, in his career. I mean, he's got comeback ability, but, like, he might be one of those guys that, when he tees off with the lead on Sunday, it's not 100%, but it's close. He's a tough man to catch.
Yeah, for sure. What do you make of Tiger in the last few weeks? Like he's obviously had some good golf that he's played, but he hasn't put together a 72-hole tournament yet. You know, he's been up there in the top 5 and 10 reasonably often, but then doing stuff like he did but on Sunday. I mean, just look at this card. He had two doubles, 3 bogeys. I don't know. He's never one to be very forthcoming about injuries, but I kind of wonder if there's not something that's just sort of nagging him. I hope that's not true, but it just seems odd.
Yeah, he was looking pretty ginger walking around, honestly, Sunday when I was watching. But I don't know. I mean, he's been playing a lot lately, which is a good treat for us. Yeah. Maybe he's burning out. He's always been one that, you know, liked to spread out his events. Especially just coming back this year, maybe he's wearing down a little bit. Maybe it's not actually an injury, it's just wearing down. It's just not getting to rehab like he has been in between tournaments or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, so could be. Well, it'll be interesting. Hopefully he's getting some rest the next few days, and should be interesting to see how he does this coming week. Before we get into previewing the PGA Championship this week, figured we should at least review our picks from last week. Kevin picked Kevin Kisner to win, which got off to a rough start, and ended up T39. I picked Justin Rose, untimely pick considering the day after we recorded. He ended up WDing with back spasms, so that'll be also an interesting one to watch this next week.
Yeah.
More interestingly, though, our last place picks. I happen to pick the winner, Jocko Allures. Unfortunately, Jocko, I picked you coming in dead last, and you came through.
Did not disappoint. Came through by 10.
Anyways, I have never heard of Jocko Allures, and I figured that was a decent pick, and it turned out I got lucky. But all the best to Jocko and his future tournaments.
Justin Thomas beat him by 38 strokes.
38 strokes.
Yes.
It's almost 5 aside.
That's a whole 9 holes. A really terrible 9 holes of golf. But, yeah.
9 holes.
Yeah. Wow, that's impressive. Funny thing is my last place pick beat my winning pick this week. So that's hopefully a trend we're going to have to buck.
Well, I mean, that might be true of mine, too. If you WD, isn't that, better than, finishing the tournament dead last?
Yeah, you probably get paid worse.
Yeah. Right. Any event, it's kind of fun. I'm sure we'll do that this week as well, at the end of the podcast. All right, looking ahead to next week, what do you think, Kev? Who are some of your picks for next week that you like?
Okay, I mean, honestly, so I was looking at the weather. I'm a big for some reason, I always think about the draws morning, afternoon. It looks like the worst weather of the week is going to be that Thursday morning draw. Looking at the tee times, not that that influences all or anything. But
no, I think you're right, though. I think that's definitely something to be aware of.
Yeah, it's the big names going off in that morning wave are Ricky Fowler's going off, Mickelson, Jason Day, Rory, JT, Tiger, that pairing, which is a ridiculous pairing, is in that morning wave. Webb Simpson, who this year's playing some good golf. Those are pretty much the notables. There's a lot of other good players I didn't mention, but those are the ones that, like, if you were going to say who could win this week, maybe them. So in lieu of that, you know, I'm kind of looking towards the afternoon for that Thursday tee time. I'm going to slightly favor them. That includes DJ and Kuchar, if it's his time. Spieth, Rahm, Paul Casey.
Yeah.
That's kind of in that afternoon wave. So, but in that morning is comes rain, and we all know with the rain, it tends to favor the guys who carry it a little further, and no one plays major golf on soft courses better than Rory in my mind. So even though he has that morning tee time, I don't know. The last time, where did he run away? Set the U.S. Open?
Congressional.
Yeah.
That was
the fairways are soft, yeah. And he doesn't have to worry about anything, and he carries it as far as anyone. And he hits driver everywhere.
He does hit driver. He hit driver everywhere yesterday. Yeah. Well, not yesterday. It was a Sunday.
Yeah, Bridgestone.
Yeah.
He hits it everywhere all the time. And if it's just going to be like a dart and stick where it lands.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. No, it's definitely an interesting pick. He's obviously had success before at the PGA Championship, among other majors.
Ooh, looking through tee times, the 121 off hole 10 is a really special tee time. It's got a Y.E. Yang, Duffner, and Sean McKeel.
Ooh, wow.
All three.
Past champions,
yeah,
there.
Yeah, blasts from the past. Wow. PGA champions, but all right, go ahead.
All right.
Who do you like?
I mean, I think I kind of like Koepka.
I know.
He's become such a solid, consistent performer, and just beats the crap out of the ball.
Mentally, I feel like he believes more than anyone.
Wouldn't you believe if you were Brooks Koepka?
I know, I would.
He's so solid.
Yeah.
And he's one, I mean, he's obviously got a great swing, but he doesn't have, it's not like kind of one of these, like, how can I say it? It's not like the super conventional, like, you know, picture perfect. He's got a little bit of that kind of interesting Bowie action in the left arm, but he really just owns it, and I like that about him.
He whips it around, but he's always swinging aggressive, and like, he's got that, like, he's always trying to hit the ball and do it. Like, he plays, it looks like he takes control of everything. Every swing, there's no hold back or hesitation. It's like he owns everything that he does. Which I dig. Yeah, looking from last week, some of the stats, looks like he, I don't know, hit the longest drive, whatever that means. But he led the field in greens in regulation. So if there's a good sign going into a major championship, that's probably, you know, one of them.
Yeah. The other one that I really like, which is flying, there's two others that I really like. It's going under the radar. One, Alex Noren. I think he's a name. I feel like there's a lot of, I don't know why, I feel like a lot of European players do reasonably well in the PGA Championship, especially, like, you know, first few rounds. It just seems like a name that would pop up there. He's obviously had some really solid play. He's gotten himself up to 13 in the world. Like,
yeah,
that's pretty good.
It's really good.
And he's a guy that, you know, if you pay attention to golf, you know who he is. But if you don't, you'd be probably pretty surprised to hear that he's number 13 in the world. So that's one that I'm definitely looking at. Just looking at his most recent results, he didn't do as well last week, but before last week he had finished, let's see, his last six starts, he'd finished inside the top 25, including a win in France and a T3 at the BMW PGA a few weeks before that. So
he's definitely playing. Is he playing mostly the Euro Tour?
He's got like a combo. It looks like the last month or so it's been just the majors and the European events, but he's had a couple U.S. events. He played the Players and Wells Fargo, so WGC events.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like he played the West Coast swing and a little bit in the Florida swing as well. But yeah, this summer has been primarily in Europe. But definitely playing some good golf. That's one that I would be looking out for. And then the other one that I really like, I liked him last week as well, and he got off to a little bit of a rough start, but Thorbjørn Olesen, I don't know what it is about. I just like that guy. I like his swing. I like his demeanor. He's played some really solid golf this year. But I think those are my two picks.
Yeah, he's got a good time, tee time. Looks like he's playing with Schwartzel and Cantlay. I mean, he's got a great swing. For people like that, it's all about confidence. So coming off his high finish, that probably bodes really well for him. I mean, if I had to pick someone from over the pond, with Justin Rose hurt back, Thomas Peters jumps out at me.
Just a big, long...
Yeah, just a masher. Yeah. You know, I mean, where he turned me around was Ryder Cup. Had to be, 2 years ago? That was impressive what he did there. But whenever I think of... I probably put way too much weight on it, but whenever there's 20% chance of rain every day, it's for sure going to rain that Thursday morning unless things change. But I just like the guys who can carry it far. For me, in a major, the way the conditions will be with probably thick, wet, rough, it's just too much to ask if you're having mid to long irons in and these other guys are getting short irons in their hands pretty often. So, if I was going to have to pick a favorite, I mean, my favorite was Justin Rose, but with the back spasms, I don't know. Maybe they were extremely precautionary last week. So,
yeah, you've got to believe that's probably the case, right? Is that he didn't want to push it with a major the next week. Although, you know, the WGC is definitely,
it's a worthy, you want to play in it.
You definitely would, but probably in any other setting, you probably wouldn't worry about it. But
yeah, I mean, I'd have to put DJ as the favorite.
Yeah, I know I didn't mention him, but he's the guy's so good. I mean, even like last week, you look at what he did last week. He just like snuck into the top. What was he tied for third? Like,
yeah, he could take two rounds off and then just play good for 2 days and shoot himself right back in a tournament.
Yeah.
Especially the way it happened. It wasn't like he was leading and took third. It was like he came out of nowhere and took third. So if anything, he's building confidence.
Yeah. I mean, he was 10 under on the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, his tee time's right. It looks like a good pairing. It's far away from Tiger, which I think matters. So
that's an interesting thing. You're saying from like a gallery commotion perspective, or how are you?
Yeah, very much so. The show that goes around him, some people love it. Like I imagine someone like Phil, you know, he loves it even more when the galleries are that much bigger and they're the hoopla and all that. But like, I don't know. And it's not like DJ doesn't draw the second biggest gallery out there. He might very much so. But like, if it's not behind him and it's a Tiger bias gallery, and they're just rowdier. They're just flat-out rowdier.
So rowdy.
So, I don't know. I picture it bothering him maybe a little bit more than other people. If nothing else, I think it's a disadvantage.
Yeah.
So, well, no matter how you chalk it up.
I don't think... Yeah, I would agree. It's the only person that it's an advantage for at this point is probably Tiger.
Yeah.
And even then, I'm sure there's instances like the 72nd hole, the Open Championship this year, when that idiot is like yelling in his downswing. But I'm looking at the course this week. This course looks amazing. Belle Reve is course that it's got some history. It's hosted the PGA Championship previously in the early 90s. I want to say 92? It was like 90. Yeah, 90. Okay. I was thinking 91 or 92. Nick Price, if I remember correctly, was the winner back then, who was,
I don't know,
definitely, that sounds right. Not a super long hitter, but I imagine the course has changed a little bit. I'm pretty sure Nick Price wasn't playing it at 7,500 yards in 1992. Mm-hmm. but even so, I think this looks awesome. This makes me want to like go out there. Just every hole has like a lot of character to it. There's some good long holes.
Yeah. Well, the word on the street is really bad heat waves coming through.
Yeah.
They're saying some of the greens are burnt out. So spray paint around the edges. And it's like a ring around each green, they say, is like bad. So they're talking about players chipping off fringes and stuff because you're going to want to carry the burnt out edges.
Really?
So, yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. It was enough where I believe Golf Digest yesterday did a little story on it, and they took pictures of it. And some players were talking about it. So kind of another one of those tournaments where hopefully conditions don't matter, but like at the U.S. Open this year, we saw it where they played a huge factor, especially on that Saturday. People made massive moves from the back of the field, and that was more like unfair conditions, but this is like,
you know, I see what you're
compromised
saying.
Putting greens. So,
yeah, I can see like this, these
the ring here. Around it. Yeah, they're burnt out, and they've been spray painted for to make them look better.
Yeah.
So, something to keep an eye on.
It's tough to keep a course in good shapes, you know, in that region, anywhere in like the Southeast, even Midwest, like, you know, St. Louis is just, it's so freaking hot.
You're at the mercy of, you know, the golf or the weather gods. But it's, the members were saying, I was reading a little bit, and the members were saying that their course, they haven't been getting to play on the greens for months now, that they've been closed, trying to keep these things in as good a shape as they can. So basically their members haven't even been able to play for, I mean, I know that they'd put a freeze on it for a month before, but they said it's been like almost all year. They've kept them off because they foresaw problems like this. So sad.
Gosh. So the grass that I'm just reading this article, about the grass, they have Zoysia grass, surrounds these areas. I mean, that these guys are going to tear this place up. Have you ever played on Zoysia grass?
No, what is it?
It's like, it's a little bit like, it's not like Kikuyu, but in the sense, it is like it in the sense that the ball like
sits up
like,
yeah,
and just, you get like perfect lies.
Yeah.
And just spin city, especially if it's soft.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see somebody shooting like, I don't know, low. 16 to 20 under,
especially
or something
if
like that.
It drizzles every day so that they cannot firm it up ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, although I don't know, it'll be interesting because it's supposed to be so hot that
it's
usually they
humid,
have to keep what? Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. That could matter for who I pick too. It's like, I don't know. It's going to take a lot out of these guys. It seems like, so they're looking at low 90s, extreme humidity. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to be wild.
But just looking at the course, it reminds me a little bit of Quail Hollow, just from like the look of it. It's like a lot of little hazards, you know, intermingled throughout the course and tree line.
Yeah.
Which, to your point, could be pretty good for Mr. McIlroy.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah,
he
Rory
just likes it.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think he's probably going to have a great week.
Yeah, so another stat from last week, I was just looking them up. Driving accuracy, Kyle Stanley, 77%, and the next closest was 66%.
77% at Firestone? That's insane.
Yeah, he won by 11%, essentially, and the next people are all grouped within 4 percentage points of each other. But it's like,
wow.
I don't know. That matters. So if he has confidence with driver and he's swinging it, and he's outpacing the field by that much, and we all know he's not Bunty, by any means.
Definitely
I don't know.
Not.
That's going to make him sneak at least in my DraftKings lineup. So I probably won't pick him to win, but
yeah,
he'll be in the DraftKings lineup, at least one of them for sure. So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. Other things in golf, Women's British Open, I guess. Georgia Hall won.
Hall.
So that's cool.
Yeah,
it's good for golf, young, and then, from Europe.
Yeah,
like honestly, women's golf's been completely dominated by U.S. or Korean.
Yeah, I think that's generous of you to say by
U.S. Lexi Thompson.
I mean, she's had
kept us on the map.
But like,
Stacey Lewis has a couple good years, and there's there's U.S. players at least in the top 10 of the world. But, I mean, there hasn't been a good European player in...
I mean, Suzanne Pettersson was probably the last really good European player.
And she was probably good five... Yeah, maybe more recent than 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but, yeah, that's still... I agree. That is good to see a little bit more parity in the women's game because the Korean players, I mean, nothing against them, but they just absolutely dominated the tour. So.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. So, yeah, it's good. But moving forward, let me see. What else we got? Let's cover a little DraftKings.
Yeah, I think so. I'm just looking at my lineup here. It's very interesting. There's a couple... Interesting player. Yeah.
So, worth mentioning, scrolling through here, we both do DraftKings because they have the bigger prize pools, essentially. They got the $20 entry to the million for first place guaranteed. I'm just going to read off the top, I don't know, a couple players here. You have Dustin Johnson at 11,400. Then it goes Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, which is an interesting third most expensive in my mind.
That really is.
Has no form coming in. Whatsoever, so to speak, and I don't know what would make us think other than he's just a prolific winner. Next is Rory, and then Tiger's fifth most expensive, with Justin Thomas and Brooks Koepka behind him. So you're talking two of the biggest Tiger fans, but
I know it's that, hard to pick him when he's that expensive.
Yeah,
and just given the fact that he hasn't put together. You know, a four-round tournament yet. You know, he's had usually three good rounds and then one bad round or one kind of mediocre round that kind of shoots him out of it. And it's interesting, you know, he was playing really well on the weekends earlier in the year where after kind of getting off to slower starts in the last couple events. He's gotten off to pretty good starts and then sort of petered out on the weekend. But, yeah, you're absolutely right, though, about Jordan Spieth and I'm just looking at his last, like, six starts. He hasn't...
How bad are they?
I mean, he's got one top 10 at the Open Championship where he really just imploded the last 9 or 18.
Yeah.
I guess it was 18. And other than that, he hasn't had a top 20 in the last... since the Masters where he finished third.
Yeah, and it doesn't bode well because it's not like... The thing he's known for is still there, and he just needs to have a good ball striking week to get it going. It's like now he's known for his ball striking, and he's not a great putter which is even scarier.
That's becoming a known thing, which is kind of interesting. What do you think? What do you make of that? You know, if you're
putting,
how do you go from being far and away the best putter on the planet to having that be maybe the most suspect part of your game? And we saw that at the Open Championship where he just missed a lot of short ones. He's not just there. He's just done it kind of everywhere.
Missing short ones is real. I mean, I think for a couple years where his make percentage from like 15 to 25 feet was, you know, insane. That to me has to be a little bit of just running good
and
you know, maybe for those couple years he made a little bit more than he should, and these 2 years it'll level out because of, you know, the pachinko bounces that greens offer or just the inability for a human eye to get reads from, you know, 25 feet exactly perfect. Like,
right,
there has to be a little bit of somewhat luck in that, but
a little bit of luck.
I don't know. I mean, confidence is extremely fragile. That's the only thing you could chalk it up to.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be really interesting to be a fly on the wall between conversations with him and Cameron McCormick, his coach, and Michael Greller, and understand what's going on there. A little more depth. It just seems odd that it's been such a 180. But
I know him and Michael Greller have a really good relationship.
Yeah.
But from the outside in, and you know Spieth's a good guy, it doesn't look like... He treats his caddy that well in a weird way. I don't know. You look at some relationships, you're like, oh, they're friends. And then you look at his and he's always talking at him. I don't know. It's very strange.
Yeah, it's not quite the Ricky Fowler, Joe Scaveron relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah, which I think is obviously, you know, the exception and not the rule out there. But yeah, I mean, wouldn't you think, say, this year especially, it seemed like maybe
it's a little Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, having a rough year, certainly in years past, they've seemed a little bit more friendly.
Yeah, after, not this year, the last year I went out to the Waste Management, the Phoenix.
Yep.
And coming home, I flew home Sunday night and into a tiny little airport in Monterey, California. And the tournament was the next week, I believe the AT&T, right?
Yeah.
So on our little flight, and this is a little airline called Allegiant. They like fly cargo. It's pretty awful flight experience.
Were you in the cargo hall for this
flight?
Yeah,
exactly. James Hahn was on that flight. And then Greller and his wife or girlfriend, I don't know, was also on that flight, which was interesting. But I don't know. I was thinking to myself, like, I would think for those big stars, when they charter their jets, wouldn't they just chuck their caddy on there too? I mean, James Hahn made sense because I doubt he's chartering planes and flying private, but like, they don't,
that is interesting.
Maybe they don't, and maybe that's very commonplace, but...
Only after a win, Kev.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When NetJet splurges and gets you the extra big one. But, like, I don't know. I imagine that if I had those means and I was flying private, that my caddy, who had to be at the course 2 hours earlier than I did the next day to be prepping stuff or whatever, would probably be on that jet with me.
Yep.
But, I don't know. Maybe that's just commonplace.
All right. Yeah, I don't know either. All right, we're coming down to the wire here. We need to wrap things up. We need to go to our picks. Mm-hmm. And before we get to our picks, I want to make one qualifier on these picks because I do need to give a shout-out to a couple of my friends who are PGA professionals who are going to be participating this week. Jason Schmoll from Windsor Golf Course up in Windsor, California, and Brian Smock from Coronado Golf Course down in San Diego area. I'm sure there's probably a couple others that I know of that are playing, but I don't think, in fairness to the PGA professionals who work, you know, 60 plus hours a week at their course back home, except for Jason. Jason doesn't work at all, as he's told me before. I don't think we should be picking any of them for last. You can't make
a PGA professional
last pick because one of them probably will be. But that's okay. So your last pick has
playing
to be
professional.
Right.
You have to pick someone who plays for a living.
Yes, who has a tour membership.
Yeah.
Or at least is exempt in some other fashion. All right. So you got your one pick.
No ancient past champions either.
Yeah, no,
can't
no
do
ancient.
Do Sean McKeel.
Yes, I agree. All right, so my pick, I'm going to pick my last place guy first. I'm going to go with, some of these PGA professionals that I don't know. And last week, if I go by what I did last week and just pick the guy I don't know, I'm probably going to pick a PGA professional because there's a bunch of them that I just don't know. So I'm really trying not to. All right, I'm going to go with somebody that I sort of know of. I'm going to go with Shubhankar Sharma.
Oh my gosh.
That's my last place pick.
Wait, he was at the WGC Mexico event this year.
Was he? He probably played well.
And he played really well, and he got all the headlines. It's the one Phil ended up winning, but yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Shubhankar, sorry.
Omar Uresti. No, is he a PGA pro? He's a PGA, okay. Yeah. He used to be a tour pro.
That almost doesn't even really count, though.
I won't do that. Okay.
In fairness, there were some guys on the... I think there were some PGA professionals that were a little bit upset that he, like, you know, came back. And I don't have a problem with it. I think he works in golf or something, so...
Would it be bad if I picked Troy Merritt? Because he just had a blood clot removed Friday out of his arm.
Oh, man. That sounds bad. I mean, not like bad like that you picked him, but bad that he had a blood clot in his arm.
He said he's playing, but I don't know how you play if you got fresh stitches in your arm. So
plus, when it's like 100 degrees outside and humid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That seems tough. All right. So that's your. All right, Troy Merritt for you, and then I got Shubhankar.
Sharma. You got Sharma. Mr. Sharma.
I got Sharma. All right. And now winners. All right.
This is tough.
This is so hard. There's like so many guys that could win.
No one can pick like DJ, right?
DJ's off limits?
I think the top, yeah. Okay, DJ and Justin Thomas have to be off limits. Anyone else is fine. But they're too obvious.
All right. So then, okay. How about this? How about we do this? You have to pick somebody who's outside the top 10 in the official world golf ranking.
Excellent. Love it. Okay.
I'm picking Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah, 11. Shocker. That's pretty funny. Wet conditions. It's a Webb Simpson kind of week. It kind of has a Quail Hollow feel. Like
yeah.
Brian was talking about. He's a ball striker. And he's not a bomber, which is what I look for, but he hits irons well. So I think they're going to have a little bit longer in this week. He's won majors. He's tough as nails. Webb Simpson.
All right. Webb Simpson. There you go. He's had a good year so far. Tommy Fleetwood for me. I think those are good picks.
Yeah, I do too.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much does it for us this week. But hope everybody has a good week watching the PGA Championship. And maybe gets out and plays a little golf while you're at it. And we'll check in with you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
See ya.
I'm just sitting here in front of you guys. I'm talking. Just hanging out here.